Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. It is a Wednesday, which means we'll talk some Cougar football coming up today from 12 to 2. I'd like to talk more about a game against Army, but sadly that's not going to be the case. Hey, make sure to join the big show coming up on Friday from 2 to 7. They'll be at the Warehouse, their new location in Salt Lake City, 1825 South, 300 West. Price is so low, it'll blow your mind. Boom. I like you throwing out a little bit of a recruiting pitch. That was nice, by the way.
Yeah, I'm throwing out another one right now.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Hans is on the warpath. I like it.
Well, I am tired of seeing these top recruits leave the state of Utah. I get it. You know, they got to make their decision. But, like, when I decided to leave Idaho as the number one recruit coming out of Idaho, there wasn't a lot of choices in Idaho.
Okay, you got to work that in there.
Well, you know, I was a state champion, and, I mean, I was
the number one recruit in the state of Idaho.
But there just wasn't a lot in Idaho. Like, you don't leave Utah anymore. You want to play independent and play all over the country? You could play BYU. You want to play Power 5 football and play with, you know, big-time coaches that have put 55 players into the draft in the last 15 years? Play at Utah. You want to play for a great conference and a great coach in Gary Anderson? Go play in Logan. Stay here. You've got options. You don't want to be a small fish in a big pond? Well, you can be a big fish in a smaller pond and go play in Weber.
Yeah.
You can play Division I FCS here.
You want to go play for a school and not play because the governor's locked it down? Go to Stanford.
Go to California.
Go to USC.
Go to California.
Because as you mentioned earlier in the show, Pac-12 may move on without California schools.
They will. In fact, I've got that on pretty good authority.
Yeah.
The Pac-12 will play, and they will play with or without your California and Oregon schools if they have to.
Joining us now on the T-Mobile special guest line. Remember, T-Mobile and Sprint are coming together to build the best wireless company around. Visit T-Mobile.com for online services and local store availability. Trying to make sense of the craziness of the NBA. It is Kurt Helan once again. And Kurt, how the heck are you, man?
A little tired, but good. Good. It was a little bit crazy last night.
The Denver Nuggets just won't die. 6-0 in elimination games in just two playoff series. I know we've never seen anything like this, but we're watching history right now in the bubble.
We are. It's kind of wild how that team seems to need its backs against the wall to really find its best level of play. And like they don't have answers for why that is, but when they're finally really pressured, this team goes out and finds another gear and did it in different ways. I mean, Jamal Murray was huge last night, but he went and followed up most of the series by the Clipper defenders, and so it was Jokic's turn. You know, that was the Nikola Jokic series. You know, obviously Murray was last series. It's going to be interesting against the Lakers, but the way they're able to kind of adapt and find ways that work and play with that kind of desperation, it's a good sign for them. It's a good sign for what is a young team on the way up that they're finding a way to do this now.
This cracks me up. I mean, it's not just them being down 1-3 in these games. It's also them being down by double digits in these games.
Oh, yeah.
I don't understand. You know, if we're 15, 17 points, and then they start to play.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I think they got helped out in this series a little bit by the Clippers coming apart. When they had the 19-point lead, just kind of – I don't know, phasing out for a while, just zoning out and not shooting well, but also just not defending the same way, not attacking mismatches. They just kind of like, oh, I think they thought they'd go away, and they just coasted for a while. Clippers were just cold. I mean, 0-for-11 to start the fourth yesterday, and they're just and missing. Kawhi Leonard's missing shots at the rim, like stuff that doesn't normally happen. They just, for whatever reason, it got in the Clippers' head a little bit, but. Denver took advantage, to their credit. The Clippers opened the door for them, but they stormed right through it, and that's not always easy to do.
So what about Doc Rivers? I mean, this is not a good look. It's not a good look for the team. Paul George is hitting the side of the standard trying to shoot last night. Is there somebody that's got to be the sacrificial lamb in this whole thing?
There will be changes, but it won't be Doc Rivers. Kawhi came out west to the Clippers in part to play with Doc. And any changes that really happen now are going to get the Kawhi Leonard, we'll call it thumbs up, you know, seal of approval on some level. They desperately want to keep him. Remember, he and Chris and Paul George can be free agents after next season in 2021. And the Clippers want to re-sign both of them, but Leonard in particular. So, you know, I would be surprised if the sacrificial lamb would be Doc Rivers. That seems highly unlikely. And I'm not sure it was even on him. I'm not sure that the tactics were bad. I know he's had a history of this, but I'm not sure. His team let up. And part of that was, you know, look, I was around this team this year. There was a sense of, and he probably contributed to this, and this is what they've got to look at. There was a sense that they could flip the switch. There was a sense that, yeah, guys are missing time and we're not getting, and Doc talked about worrying about it, but it never seemed that urgent. There never seemed to need to build the chemistry that Denver has, that Utah has, that the Lakers actually took the regular season seriously enough to build with all the changes they had to their roster. They played their guys together to make sure that they could develop some of that. The Clippers thought they could flip the switch. There was a sense of entitlement around this team, and it's come back to bite them, and they're going to have to address that and figure out, you know, they're going to have to figure out some roster, some bench stuff too. They've got to be a little deeper. Well, their deep guys have got to be able to step up in big moments.
Who is the engine that's running this team?
They are much like Lawrence Frank is ultimately the decision maker. You might remember him as the guy who had to write reports for Jason Kidd years ago in Boston, Brooklyn. But they run very much the more teams are like this, the Warriors are certainly like this. It's a collective group thinking type of thing. They put a lot of ideas in the room. Everybody gets, you know, there's not, man, you can be at the bottom of the totem pole. You get to throw your idea in there, and if it can hold water, you get to, you know, argue for it. They operate on that kind of system. They want a lot of different voices, a lot of different perspectives coming into the room. But at the end of the day, Lawrence Frank and, you know, obviously Steve Ballmer, but Lawrence Frank is the guy making the basketball decisions. I don't think that that's necessarily going to change. You know, look, Jerry West has a say, and he's got a big voice, and plus he's there to convince Steve Ballmer to do what they want him to do. And then, there's other – but Doc Rivers has a say. There's a lot of guys with a say. It's a smart front office. But they've got to – look, Montrezl Harrell is a free agent. How much do you want to pay him this summer? They've got some hard decisions ahead.
Kurt Helin right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. I know the Lakers probably aren't going to take Denver lightly, but the fact is they've just gone through two emotionally physical crazy series. I don't want to leave the Nuggets for dead, but I got to imagine the Lakers are licking their chops over this.
This was the preferred matchup. Let's just put it that way. As much as Denver is playing well and has potential, and look, Jamal Murray's proved me wrong. I was convinced going into the playoffs. I'm like, and I think I said done to you guys. I don't know if he's a number two. I don't know that. I'm wrong. He's a two. Like, he can be the number two. Jokic has been fantastic. I'm still not convinced that the Lakers 1 and 2 are better than anybody else's 1 and 2, and that's probably going to be more than enough in this series too, as long as they keep defending the way they were, because their offense, those two guys can generate enough offense and generate enough good looks for everybody else. They're veterans. Unlike the Clipper veterans, their veterans didn't suddenly get like T-Rex arms and start short-arming everything during the they've been knocking down shots. So I like their chances in this, and I think that they think their matchups are really good, that they've got a lot of big bodies to throw at Jokic before they go small and go to Anthony Davis. And I would just say Denver doesn't have a good matchup to stop LeBron James, but who does?
Was the defensive block by Bam Adebayo last night the most impressive defensive moment you've seen in postseason play in the NBA?
It's up there. I was trying to think, like, the first block that comes to mind, remember LeBron's chase down on Andre Iguodala the finals a few years back? But it's on that level, isn't it? I mean, that was going to be a tying the game with less than 10 seconds poster, you know, not even just poster. That was just going to be like, you know, a highlight dunk and bam. I mean, how many guys even step into that, right? Rudy would. There's a handful of guys that would. But a lot of guys would be like, I'm not getting in the way of that. And to Bam's credit, he got up there and shut that thing down. It was that's as impressive a block as, I mean, that goes, it's like you said, it goes with the greats of all time. Because I don't know how many guys could pull that off.
The Celtics have been playing really, really well. Miami, obviously, steady, and they've played well. After what you saw last night, how do you foresee that series going?
Yeah, I'd picked Boston in the series in six. I might push that to seven now.
Yeah,
I'll still stick with them. I think that their versatility, again, I like versatile teams, so I'm going to stick with their ability to find a way. But you know, they've got to find a way to keep the Heat out of the Heat got into the paint. Their penetration, Goran Dragic in particular, but also, you know, Jimmy Butler, other guys were getting into the paint when they wanted. And that just leads to the kickouts, and they've got good shooters, obviously, with Duncan Robinson and Hero and everybody, Jay Crowder, everybody can shoot. So they've got to find a way to be stronger inside and cut off that penetration. They didn't do it in game one. I think they'll start to figure it out. But I'll tell you, one of the best parts of that series, guys, the coaching matchup. The changes that you're going to see. These are two of the very best coaches in the league, two of the smartest coaches in the league, and it's going to be a real chess match. It's going to be fun to watch.
You know, I was thinking about Jimmy Butler last night, just kind of his overall game. What he did in the final seconds of regulation and then what he did getting the and-one there with 12 seconds left in overtime that eventually gave him the win. And I've watched Jimmy Butler's level of commitment. It feels like, and correct me if I'm wrong, it feels like he's shown more focus, concentration, more want to and desire to not only be in the bubble, but to win the 2020 championship than anybody else that I've watched so far in the postseason. That includes LeBron and everybody.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. He's thriving in this environment because he's kind of a focused guy. And now I'm going to say there's just basketball. There's just basketball and then his coffee business. And the that he's got running out of his dorm, you know, his dorm. And by the way, like there's shirts for that now, and he's close to signing a deal apparently with Lululemon.
Yeah.
To like take it. So like, you know, Jimmy's making himself some money out of this. But yeah, if you're around Eric Spoelstra, if you listen to him talk much, he uses this kind of phrase like whatever it takes. Like that's just kind of the Heat philosophy, his philosophy. Like, we got to get it done. Whatever it takes, we've got to get it done. If that means bringing in players, we've got to get it done. You know, Jimmy Butler embodies that. Like, whatever they need, whatever it takes to win. If it's defensively locking a guy down, fine, I can do that. If you need me to just hit a big shot over Jason Tatum, by the way, which was really impressive. Like, whatever they need, he's kind of able to provide and still bring the other guys along with him. They're just their mentality, their culture is. I think culture, you know, sometimes we throw that around a little too lightly, but there are certain teams that really embody and go get guys who fit what they want to be. And Miami's always been that way. And they've really got one in Jimmy Butler, who is just the perfect puzzle piece for them.
You know that book that came out, He's Just Not That Into You? Is that something that the Milwaukee Bucks need to just realize that Giannis may not just be into them and just realize, you know, it just – you can talk about going over the cap all you want, but at the end of the day, you're just not going to hold on to him. Is that where they're at, or do you think there's hope there that they might be able to keep him long term?
Yeah, first off, should I be worried that my wife was reading that book?
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't think so. I what I've heard is that the you know, they had a sit down with the owner, and that everybody came out of that kind of feeling good. Like, or let's put it this way, at least on the same page, sort of in a good place. It didn't end in a negative way. There's a real sense that they've got to make some changes to that roster and make, you know, we've discussed before. I mean, they don't really have a good plan B after you run into a good defensive team that can kind of wall off Giannis from getting to the rim and still harass the shooters a little bit. Eric Bledsoe wasn't getting it done. Chris Middleton had nice numbers, but they've just got to find a way to be better. And all that said, Giannis has said he wants to make this work there, and I got a feeling that's kind of where this is. He may not sign the Supermax this summer, but I don't think they're going to trade him. I think this is more akin to Kevin Durant in Oklahoma City, that like if he leaves, he walks, because they know as much as they're not going to get another Giannis Antetokounmpo. They're not going to get another guy who wants to be in the city like he does. So they're going to go all out to keep him. And the only way they trade him is at next trade deadline if he says, I'm gone. And I don't think he's going to do that. So I don't think that's his style. I think he wants to stay. But we'll see. You know, we say that now. And, you know, ask me in, you know, around, well, I was going to say when free agency opens, whenever that is. Or ask me, you know, at the start of next season in February or whatever. And we'll see. Maybe feelings change. Maybe the mood shifts a little. But right now, they're not trading him, and I think that everybody's going to try to make this work.
Kurt Heelan right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Kurt, you're the best, man. We appreciate it, and look forward to chatting with you next week.
I look forward to chatting with you and talking about, you know, Pac-10 football, except for the teams near me. So that'll be fun.
This is not a political statement, but if you got NFL teams playing, your governor's got to let the schools go.
Yeah, you know what? You would think that there'd be a way to make that work, wouldn't you? Like you know, exactly. I'm a Notre Dame guy. I'm a Notre Dame fan. I watched the Notre Dame game last week. I thought the way they handled it with just students kind of in the band and family in the building. You know, you put that many people in a big stadium, any major college big stadium, you're fine, right? Everybody's spaced.
Yeah.
You can make it work if you want to.
No doubt.
You know, I think, look, I just, again, I don't want to get political, but, like, I just think the French president came out the other day and basically said, we're going to have to learn to live with the virus for a while. And I just think that's where we are. We're going to have to figure out how to learn to live with this for a little while until we can, you know, reach a point that we can, through vaccines and, you know, immunization and everything else, we can control it. So,
yeah, it's a smart man. Kurt, appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Take care, guys.
Kurt Heelan, ProBasketballTalk.com and NBCSports.com.
Next week with Kurt, we'll get into proper deforestation and forest management. See if we can figure that out for California, too.
We're just fixing California's problems issue at a time.
Oh, what a tough state to be in. Scotty just referencing the tweet that I retweeted. Simi Fuoco, who did his prep here in Utah, went on to Stanford and is doing great things for them. Big fan of him, but he just tweeted out, meanwhile, the 49ers are practicing and they're playing and they're just 30 minutes down the road.
Yeah.
It's a good point, Simi.
Spot on. Absolutely spot on.
I don't know how to help you here, bud.
Yep. All we can do is say hop. No, I can't. We can't say that. Can we?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, we can.
Get in that portal. Come on home.
Logan would love you.
Salt Lake would love you. Provo would love you.
Provo would love you.
Hell, Jay Hill will welcome you with open arms.
Well, Jay's got a couple good receivers. Jay might not need to see me right now.
I think Jay would find a spot to see me.
But check in with Coach Warren
down
in Cedar City. I bet he could use you.
Let's make it happen. Mark's with us right now. We're live here at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray, 4500 South State Street. You buy a vehicle, you want peace of mind. Forever Warranty gives you that peace of mind.
Boy, I'll say, you know, when you come in here and you're looking at getting a used car, one of the biggest fears anybody has is, you know, am I going to get the use out of it? It's going to last. Is it going to just break down on me? And the Forever Warranty really takes care of that, because it covers you for unlimited miles and unlimited time. So come in and buy with confidence in mind.
Love those Titans. One day I will have one.
Yeah.
I look forward to that day, but those Titans are just incredible.
They are so nice. They're so roomy. They're so capable. That V8, it sounds great. It pulls great. It tows great. It's just an awesome vehicle. In fact, we've got a guy at one of our other stores, and he's got a Titan that he tows this massive fifth wheel trailer with it, and it's just the regular, you know, V8.
Yeah.
And just not the diesel. He just took the V8 out, boom, and goes. So, and 0% interest, 72 months on not only the Titan, but 9 other Nissan models.
So that does include the Titan.
Oh, yeah.
I want to be careful. I was going to lead you
into
that.
You're going to let me trip over that one. Yeah. No, it is. That's the nice is, like, I think there's only like one or two that don't have 0%. And it's probably the one or two that you and I couldn't fit in. No, I'm kidding. I think if you and I went on a road trip in any of our cars, we'd be comfortable for sure.
For sure.
Yeah. And, you know, I just got to throw this out there. Today, I think it was yesterday, Nissan just unleashed the new Proto Z. Have you seen it?
No.
I'll have it up on our Facebook page. Go over to Tim Daly Murray Nissan Facebook page. You'll be able
Proto
to see
Z?
Pictures and videos of it. We are relaunching the Z car.
No kidding.
And it is epic. It is epic. And don't know about production, but they're looking at close to 400 horsepower, twin turbo V6. And, you know, so we didn't need to go to a German car to build our incredible
that is awesome.
Two-door sports car.
That is awesome. Well, let's make it happen. Come down here. Tim Daly Nissan in Murray, 4500 South State Street. 0% financing on 9 models, and it comes with those forever warranties. New and a high, high selection of those used vehicles as well right here on the Zone Sports Network.
Let's go!
The Big Show.
It's a big deal!
With Gordon Monson and Jake Scott.
We're talking with Matt Williamson, our NFL insider. Jordan Love went to Utah State, so he's got a lot of fans around here, obviously. But it would seem that the Packers picking him might have motivated Aaron Rodgers just a tad.
Just a tad, yeah. Rodgers has an amazing career. That being said, the last 2 years, he has been a good quarterback. He has not been a great player. And I worried that the end was starting to creep up to him, too. Didn't take as many risks as he used to. Didn't really adapt to the LaFleur offense that great in his first year. But maybe that fire under him now is just burning white hot, and there's nobody more talented.
The Big Show, weekdays from 2 to 7 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Good, the bad, the ugly right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. This story, I saw this come down this morning. This is a weird story here. Maya Moore, who stepped away from the WNBA to help a man who, Jonathan Irons, who was serving a 50-year prison sentence stemming from a 1998 burglary and assault conviction. Despite no real evidence proving his guilt, he was only 16 at the time of the conviction. Moore says she met Irons when she was 18 going through a prison ministry program. She helped fight the cause, got him released from prison in July, and the two are now married. That's right. She said that they grew close over the years fighting for his freedom. When he was released in prison, Moore was there waiting for him, and they tied the knot shortly after. So they're married now. She gets him out of prison, and boom, let's go. It's like High and I forget the name of the officer in Raising Arizona.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's killing me because it's Miss Madonna.
Miss McDonough. That was a good cornflake.
No, breakfast flakes.
Miss McDonough.
Well, he going to hate you for it when he gets older. Miss McDonough.
I thought she was as fertile as the Tennessee River Valley.
What was her first name?
Ed. That's right, Ed.
Ed. The best movie all time. I love that movie. I wanted the theme song, that yodeling.
Yeah.
Theme song. I've wanted that on the shelf.
During the car chase?
For years, yes. It's a car chase and it's the open.
There's a my buddy was at a movie class where the guy says it's one of the greatest movies ever made, just from a cinematic standpoint. How, you know, during that car chase and they've got the music in the background, yeah. And then he goes into the supermarket and the music immediately changes to a what you hear in grocery stores and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just.
The whole thing is brilliant.
If you've not seen Raising Arizona, you're doing yourself a huge disservice.
It's incredible. Good poll.
All right. Hands and Scotty, there's your good. By the way, Good, Bad, the Ugly, brought to you by Zero Res. Remember, you get three rooms of carpet clean for just $33 per room, and the fourth room is free. Call 801-288-9376. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
You know, these situations always take a pretty serious turn, Scotty, when a sports figure or an athlete decides he's going to go into the fans to rain down justice. And that happened yesterday. German soccer star, his name is Toni Listner. He plays for Hamburg. They were playing against the Dynamo. They lost 4-1, got beat down, and he was doing an interview after the match. So he's right next to the stands, and they allowed 10,000 people to come in for this event, which, and they told him, hey, look, face masks, you know, 6 feet, all that stuff. Nobody was paying attention to it.
Yeah.
Well, he's doing the interview with this individual, and he's right next to the stands. And about eight rows up was a guy who was standing in the walkway and apparently yelled something about Listener's kids and wife.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Now, Listener claims that it went too far.
Yeah.
So he climbs over the wall. He goes up eight steps. And I want to be really specific. I don't know if you've seen the video, and I know a lot of people out there haven't. I want to be specific so people can kind of make their own opinion on this. He walks up the eight steps, and he grabs the man by his shirt on each pec. So right here, yeah. Scotty. And you got a picture. He's on the lower step, and then the fan is on the upper step.
Okay.
So he grabs the shirt. He pushes him back onto the steps, kind of pushes him down on the steps, gives him a nice little, I'm more powerful than you. I would rip you in half. Don't ever comment on my wife and kids. Lets him go, stands up, walks back down the steps, jumps over the wall, and concludes the interview. Went right back to the interview and was like, sorry about that. Yeah, so anyways, you know, we should never lose a game like that. The Dynamo aren't that, you know, just goes right into his interview.
Yeah.
Now, he's since come back. He's 30 years old. He's been doing this for a long time. He's since come back. This is his comment. He said, after the match in my hometown, I was verbally abused from the stands. I can usually cope with it, but this was extremely and massively below the belt against my family, my wife, and my daughter. That's when I lost it, even more so because it was already an extremely emotional match for me. Regardless, this shouldn't have happened. I am a father who wants to serve as a role model. I apologize in all forms, and I can promise no matter what the result is, this will never happen again. That's his apology. So where do you stand on this, Scotty?
It's a little aggressive, but still, if you're trying to do an interview and somebody's running down your wife and your kids, I think going over there and, I mean, he didn't physically strike the guy.
He didn't. He just two-hand took him down to the stairs and gave him a what for.
I guess you can't do that, but.
Surprised it didn't escalate more because didn't a fan also, somebody that was behind the guy, didn't he, like, give him a shove? As well.
Yeah, he pushed him. The fans kind of tried to intervene and pushed him, and things started to get emotional. The security guard came down, separated. As the guy was walking down, Lloyd, and I don't know if you're watching the video, but as that soccer player's listener's walking back, you can see it on his face. Even though he goes back to the interview, you see it on his face. He knows what he just did.
Yeah.
And he knows that all hell is going to come down on him. But Scotty, can I make a comparison? Can I say something in regards to this? You know how sacred our families are to us.
Yeah.
And, you know, if this was a fan that was attacking somebody's sexual orientation or a fan that was attacking their race, that fan would never see that stadium again.
No.
So, So if we're going to start banning fans for sexual orientation and for race, how about we start banning fans if they're attacking wives and children? Because I think that's as sacred as my sexual orientation. I take my wife and kids, I take that as serious as anybody's going to take anything else. You want to get to me? Attack my wife and kid. That's how you'll get me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, and by the way, I'm not making a joke out of this. Because we've joked about this a little bit, but even when we joke, I understand how you would do and react the way you did, because I think I would have done the same thing had I were you. had I been you, but the whole tuba player incident in Logan.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a guy that made a verbal joke about a relative, and you're like, I'm not going to have any of that nonsense.
Yep. And if he wouldn't have gotten the van and locked it before I got to it, I would have physically done something to that person.
Even if it's just grabbing him by the shirt collar and saying,
I don't
okay.
think I would have hit him because he's a band guy. But I would have let him know that, you know, if you're going to open up your mouth there's gonna, and say something about my family, there's going to be a consequence.
Yeah.
So this is really tough for me. You know, I mean, we fight for the rights of sexual orientation, and we fight for the rights of race. Well, guess what I hold more dear to my heart than anything? It's my wife and my kids.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, well, you just got to get over it, and you got to let it kind of flow off your shoulders.
No, you don't.
Okay,
no.
Then if we're going to do that, then you need to tell everybody about their sexual orientation and their race. Everybody's got to let everything flow off their back, because this is the one thing I hold the most dear and the most serious in my life.
Yeah. You just can't pick and choose what you're passionate about.
Right. And you can't pick and choose what you're going to ban fans from stands for.
Yeah.
And if somebody wants to sit there and argue, well, actually, my sexual orientation is more passionate than what you are for your family, I'll argue that with you. My wife and my kids, they're everything in my world. My whole world revolves around them. Has for 21 years. It will for the rest of my life until I'm in the ground.
Yeah.
So if we're going to start, if we've made the decision that we're going to ban fans, and I know that the 49ers are looking for the fan that attacked that Arizona player and used some racial terms.
They absolutely should.
And they're going to look to ban this fan for life. If that's the case, we can't just, well, you know what? Wife and kids aren't that sacred. We've already opened up Pandora's box for banning. We've already told fans what they can and can't say. If we got things that they can and can't attack, well, let's make sure that they can't attack my wife and kids. Because guess what the one trigger is that'll put me over the edge and make me do something that will probably get me put in jail? It's attacking my wife and kids.
Yeah. Hans and Scotty, there's the bad. Let's get to the ugly.
And, of course, the ugly.
Good, the bad, the ugly, continuing on right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Ed Orgeron. It's always good to hear from Ed, see what's going on and try to understand what he's trying to say. Was asked about COVID issues on his team and their ability to keep their players safe going forward. And here's Ed Orgeron's thought about the current COVID status with his team.
When a player gets hurt on, you know, you pretty much know an injury report how long he's going to be out. But on COVID, this stuff kind of pops up unexpectedly. I mean, tell me about the process y'all go through of when you get a report or whatever, and like the adjustments you have to make, because it seems like it's something like almost every day that you got to, in the back of your mind, you got to adjust.
Yes, yes. And that's why I told the team we need everybody. There's no telling what's going to happen with the COVID. I think that we've got a good handle of it, but once a kid gets it, the next man got to go up. And, you know, Mickey comes tell me, Jack comes tell me, this person tested positive, this person's going to be quarantined. They give me the number of days, and we got to make adjustments. Look, 2 weeks ago, we had everybody on our offensive line except two or three guys were out. We couldn't go any team. We adjusted very well, and we've got to make adjustments. But I think most of not all of our players, but most of our players have caught it. So I think that hopefully they don't catch it again, and hopefully they're not for games, you know.
Oh, Ed, no. Stop.
He knew when he said it. Lloyd was bringing up a point. He looks up, and he kind of checks himself like, oh, I guess we're just going to announce this. Well, pretty much the whole team got it.
That Orgeron throwing COVID parties in Baton Rouge.
Those guys get a 90-day exemption.
Yeah.
If you've had it and you've had that positive test, you get a 90-day exemption.
And you've got to make adjustments. But I think most of
right there, he paused.
Not all of our players, but most of our players have caught it. So I.
Oh man.
He looked up and like, is this going to get me in trouble? Oh, man, let's go.
Like, look.
You know what?
It's like, okay, I just won a national championship last year, so they're not going to fire me.
I don't think it's going to.
And you've got to make an adjustment. But I think most of, not all of our players, but most of our players have caught it. So
I think most of our medical staff is really committed to keeping our players safe. Like, Ed, you got to, you can't finish that, man. You got to get out of that.
I think, though, I haven't seen any fallout from it. I haven't even seen the school issue anything. But he did just announce and made public that not all but most of his team has had it. And by the way, you know, we laugh because we love Ed. I mean, like, look, Ed's one of my favorites.
Yep. Even when he was at USC, loved the guy.
Yep. He's one of my favorites. And I think that he loves the kids. But, you know, there are some things that you want to keep kind of secret.
Hey, can I throw one more on the ugly?
Love to.
That's more bad. There is a reporter, and his name is David Hookstead. And David, let's see, I'm not even sure who he's with. But he's a sports reporter in Big Ten country. And I know this is just a joke, but it just falls so flat. He said, I've spent the last 188 days fighting to save Big Ten football. Today we accomplished the mission. Much like Osama bin Laden raid or D-Day, you never know when your number will be called to serve. All you hope for is to execute your job and the mission. We just did that. I never asked to be a hero in the fight to save Big Ten football. I just wanted to watch the Badgers play. That's the thing about heroes. We never ask to be in these moments. We just happen to find ourselves here.
Oh my
thanks
gosh.
To everyone who joined the fight. Now let's play.
Oh, man.
And I will say this. There's a
no.
There's a lot of people out there that are blowing this guy up. Obviously, he's just trolling and trying to have some fun.
Yeah, let him have some fun, man. That's his good fun right there.
I just like the fact that there's so – like, here's a response from somebody who obviously is very upset about this. It's a doctor that said, is this a parody cant or is this man really lauding his own heroism and comparing it to the D-Day where young man will be back to concussing themselves amid a rampant pandemic? Okay, calm down.
Yeah, this is where you just can't have any more fun on social media. I mean, whatever it was 2 days ago, I was trying to have a little bit of fun. You know, talking about how nobody actually pays for a Netflix account. Like, everybody borrows it or splits it or something. And people are like, well, you're voting for Trump. Can't believe you. And it's like, what are we doing, man? Just having a little bit of fun out here.
Yeah.
That guy knows that fighting for the Big Ten. That guy knows that fighting for the Big Ten is nothing like stepping out one of those carriers on the beach of Normandy. Like, that, he knows that.
Oh, boy. All right, Hans and Scotty here.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's bad form. Maybe now's not the time to be talking like
it
that.
It is for me, but that's because I like to laugh, and I don't take things serious like that.
I never asked to be a hero. But here we are.
Hey, I will tell you, though, that the president of the United States, he definitely took some credit on Twitter.
Yeah, Big Ten's not happy about that, too. One guy goes, he made one phone call.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I did not see that the Big Ten had kind of stepped out.
One member who remained unsourced goes, the guy made one phone call to our commissioner.
Oh, no.
But, yeah, but what we talked about this, though, the president got into this thing because you look at swing states, Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio, and he makes a phone call, Big Ten plays. Yeah, he's going to do a victory lap. You bet your buddies in an election year he's going to do that.
Yeah.
And then he's going to say, look what I did for you. I brought your football back to you.
Yep. Yep.
All right, Hans and Scotty, take a break. Come back. Whole world news straight ahead right here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK. Jay Drew joining us, BYU football writer for the Deseret News. Do you have the feeling that most BYU guys are trying to follow the rules so they at least have a pretty good chance of playing, recognizing that anything can go wrong even if you're following the rules and they may have to postpone a game?
Yeah, I do. Around June or July, sources have told me there was an outbreak. They did have several guys test positive. At that time, there was some pretty stern shots fired across the bow from BYU administration to these players. There's 123 guys on that roster. You're talking about a ton of people, but I get the idea from the most part that the last couple of months they've done their best to follow the guidelines and protocols.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10.
Presented by WCF Insurance, reminding you to be careful out there.
On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got
Hands and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hope you're all well. We're live here at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray, and it's time for another edition of Whole World News. And I like where this guy's mind's at.
Well, this is a unique and harrowing story of a man that
harrowing
that loved one thing, drank enough of it that he could outline his entire condo with it. This is a guy in Florida, Scotty, and he decided he's going to sell his condo. So he listed it on the MLS and threw up a bunch of pictures. And the pictures show, as I've posted here, the pictures show that his entire house, ceiling and walls, kitchen, bedrooms, every room in the condo except for one small bathroom is wallpapered with Budweiser beer cans.
That dude's drinking a lot of beer.
Now, as the real estate agent stated, when this family contacted her to post this and sell it, and they said, hey, our entire house is wallpapered with beer cans, she thought, wait, who even makes a beer can wallpaper? And did not realize, Scotty, until she went to the place, that it's
actual beer cans.
And the ceiling is completely covered. And they actually made crown molding out of Budweiser beer cans.
It looks tastefully done, by the way.
It does look tastefully done. Are you looking at this?
Yeah, I'm joking. It looks horrific.
Oh. I'm not thinking Budweiser, cans would be pretty sweet.
No. I'm saying, I'll just say this. Like, there's a lot of workmanship that went into this. I mean, I still think it's horrid. And as soon as I took one step in that house, I'd turn around and leave if I was a prospective buyer, because who wants to take a scraper and scrape all these cans? I'm sure they hot glued them or did something stupid to get them to the wall.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to have to replace all that drywall.
Hot glued them. They probably did hot glue them.
Yeah.
It'd be your best way. Look how they went around the thermostat.
The craftsmanship is remarkable.
Yeah, with the cans, it's incredible. I could see walking into Lloyd's house and just see Hefeweizen cans everywhere. Does Hefeweizen do a can, or is that Lloyd?
That's more bottles.
Oh, okay. It'd be a little tougher to do this out of
bottles. I wouldn't mind doing some Diet Mountain Dew cans, though.
You know, I had a thought of this, though, Scotty. Like, you know, let's say your boys are throwing a ball around and that ball hits the wall. It's going to dent that can. You're going to have to. Think about all the cans that are going to dent.
You come home with a couple 12-packs, and your wife's like, why'd you buy all this beer? It's like, Joey over there messed up with a wall. I got to fix it somehow. She's like, it's 9 a.m. I got to start drinking.
Could you imagine how vicious the circle is, Scotty? You get drunk, come home, stumble into a wall, smash some cans on the wall. You're like, well, I got to replace those.
Yep.
So the next day you get drunk, yep. You stumble into the wall, smash those. Well, I got to replace those again.
Yeah, that's a bit of a problem.
So Lloyd, so Hefeweizen, so at Orange Spritzed, Sun-Kissed Hefeweizen, They don't do it in a can?
No. Maybe a rusty nail.
Lloyd's going to decorate his house with those little snow cone things.
A rusty nail. Oh, a bunch of Miami Vices tacked to the wall. That'll get Jake upset. Can you imagine Jake walking into that home? Heffenweisen's.
Oh, he'd walk right back out.
Hot glued to the wall.
All right. Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Mark's been patiently waiting for us. And let's talk about the medical-grade sanitizer. This is awesome, man. You with every vehicle, it leaves us locked.
Isn't that cool? So, you know, we're all really concerned about just making sure that we're safe, right?
Yeah.
You know, and I think we're all really conscious. Boy, we're really conscious about touching our face. But imagine what you touch in your car and what everyone else touches in your car, right? You know, people get in and they're all over the place. And so we spray this car down with our medical grade worry-free sanitizer, and that's included on every car. It's activated by the sun. It lasts up to 6 months.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
And if you want to bring it back after 6 months,
you can have it reapplied. Yeah, yeah. And you can even buy it in our service department. So we'll put it on your existing car if you'd like.
Oh, that's great.
Which makes it nice. But that comes included on every used and every new car we have, which is fantastic.
Also coming with every new and a high percentage of your used vehicles is that forever warranty, too.
Forever warranty, that's right. So if you have any type of mechanical issue, it doesn't matter how many miles you put on your car, nor how long you've owned it. So that's cool. Like, drive it and own it forever.
Honestly, I can't imagine why you wouldn't buy here.
I can't either. I don't know what these people are thinking. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, the sanitized.
Well, actually, if you're going to build a house out of beer cans, I probably can see what you're thinking. But there are reasonable people out there, and when they sit down and do the math and they figure it out, you get a lot more for your money here at Tim Daly Nissan.
4500 South State Street. Come by and 0% financing on 9 new models.
For up to 72 months.
72 months. Imagine driving that Titan. 0% financing saves you probably tens of thousands of dollars before it's all said and done. Take advantage of that right now here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.